All right. I want us at this time to welcome Susan Ramsey to the platform. Let's welcome Susan. Susan. Come on up. There's a cheer for you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. Have a seat. I've asked Susan to join me on the platform today because of something that Susan went through last year. And I think this would be, many of you have already seen her testimony on video, but we have so many new people in the church that I just wanted them to hear a little bit about what God did in your life. So we're talking about words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. And Susan has a tremendous testimony about this. Just take a couple of minutes and tell us what you went through last year. What happened?
Last year on February 24th, is it working? Is this thing on?
It is now.
Okay.
That better?
Okay. That's
oh,
better.
That is better. Last year on February 24th, 2004, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Mm-hmm. That's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And I went to the doctor because of some symptoms, and I went in for a routine test, and they found a fairly large tumor. And that following afternoon, they sent me to Rex Hospital for a CAT scan, and they found that the cancer had spread to my liver. And so I was diagnosed at stage 4.
Okay.
Stage 4 cancer.
All right. Which means, for those who don't know, what does that mean? I mean, what was the prognosis?
Well, there are stages of cancer. Doctors will stage you at 0 through 4. And essentially, after stage 4 cancer, there's about a 6-foot box and a hole in the ground for you. There's not a lot of hope for you when you get to stage 4.
Okay.
It had spread to, you know, a very vital organ in the human body, and a lot of people really don't ever survive that once
right.
it's got to when once it's spread and gotten to that stage in
okay.
your body.
Okay. All right. And so, did he give you a time frame? Did he give you any hope at all, or did he just say?
My doctor, my primary oncologist, we really wanted her to give us hope. When we went to see her for my initial consultation, and we left without that, mm-hmm. she couldn't give me any hope. And through over the course of time, the next several months, during chemotherapy and radiation, I was referred over to Duke Hospital to see a colorectal specialist as well as a liver specialist. And we were talking the other day. Every time I went to the doctor, the prognosis got worse. The liver specialist, is the one that essentially told me that I would be dead within 5 years.
Okay.
That there was really not a lot of hope for me. That, you know, within 5 years, this is bad. People really don't survive this, and we're not giving you a lot of hope here.
Okay.
So he told me I'd be dead in about 5 years.
Okay. So, so what did you do?
It's after the initial test that morning at the doctor's office. We got in the car, Greg, my husband, and I, and Greg looked at me and he said, "Susan, we are not going to believe that evil report that was just spoken over you." He said, "We're going to believe the report of the Lord." And in my mind, that's where, and I believe with everything that's in me, that's where the battle line was drawn. We didn't have to receive the evil report. We were going to believe the report of the Lord. And Greg said, "Where do you want me to take you? We've got a couple hours until you have to be over to the hospital for your CAT scan." And I said, "Greg, take me to our church. Mm-hmm. I need prayer." And when I got here, Jenny was here, and Linda was here, and Pastor Connie was called. And it was like all these prayer warriors started coming out of the woodwork. And we went to the prayer room over there, and we arrested that situation, and we prayed, and we just really began to get the faith to arise and get the battle going, the warfare going.
Okay.
And
so then from there, things just started to improve. Things just started getting better, right?
Well, no. I mean, after we prayed and I went back to the hospital, that's when we found out that it was in my liver. And then every time I went to the doctors just kept telling me, you know, there's not a lot of hope here that we're going to give you. We're not going to tell you we're going to be okay, Susan. We're telling you that there's a really good chance that in 5 years you're not going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be here. So no, initially it didn't get better. The report kept getting worse and worse. But one thing that I did, I told my family and everybody around me, if you can't talk faith, then don't talk at all. You know, we've got a saying, and we say it in the world, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. And my stance was, if you can't say anything God, then don't say anything
right.
at all. Because
mm-hmm.
I only want the truth the word of God spoken over me, because that's what counts here. That's what's going to deliver me.
Right. Okay. So then you got prayer. You left here. You went to the doctor. He gave you a bad report. So what did you do? We were standing in the hallway talking the other day, and I asked you, I said, Susan, I'm teaching a series on words. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Mm-hmm. Did speaking the word have anything to do with your healing? And what was your response?
I said it had everything to do with my healing.
Okay, well, tell us about that.
When we left the oncologist's office 2 days after I was diagnosed, the initial diagnosis, our balloon had been deflated. I mean, you know, we had prayed and we were believing that we were going to go in there and get this awesome report. And we left and, you know, it was bad. Yeah, you've got cancer. You've got a lot of it. It's in parts of your body that you don't live when it gets there, that type thing. And we got back on the Beltline and Greg was driving and my sister, who was a pastor as well, was in the back seat. And very, very quietly, Pastor Steve, I just went to the Lord and I said, you know what? I can't heal myself. I, in and of myself, I can't do this, and the doctors can't do anything to help me right now. And I said, I'm coming to you, Lord, based on the merit of your word. Your word says that I'm saved, and the same word says that I'm healed. So I'm asking you to heal me. And I told God exactly what I was dealing with. And I said, you know, they found a tumor. It spread to my liver, and I'm just asking you to heal me. I don't care how you do it, and I'm not telling you how, and I'm not telling you when. I'm just asking you to do it. And after that, this is when I just began. I was adamant, and I just dug my heels into the Word of God, and that's all that I would speak over myself and about the income, about the outcome, rather. And as we began to meet with the other specialists and the doctors, and we heard their initial reports, I began to confess over my three doctors, my oncologist, the colorectal specialist, and the liver specialist, that eventually I will hear the report of the Lord from their mouths. They may not be Christians, and they may not be believers, but I will hear the report of the Lord from their mouths. And I'm here to tell you that the doctor that confessed death over me and told me that I would be dead within 5 years because the disease would eat my liver and essentially kill me, he was the one I got the worst report from. In the end, I got the best report from him.
Okay.
And what he said, I have to share it with you. Amen. He came to me and he said, Susan, you know, when I initially saw you, he said, I really did not have any hope for you. He said, you know, once this disease gets in the liver and it begins to progress, he said, there's really nothing that medicine that anybody can do to save a person once it's in the liver. And he said, you know, when I initially met you, I really believed that, you know, the prognosis was really dim for you. He said, but now, seeing the way that you've responded and seeing where you are today, he said, my hope for you not only to have longevity of life, but a quality of life is way up here. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, Dr. Clary, I said, I confessed that over you. And I prayed for you from the first time that I met you. And he just looked at me and he said, you know what? Thank you. I need all the prayer that I can get. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, my confession came to pass. I am healed of cancer. In April, I went back for more testing. I had a PET scan. I have blood work. And it's now on my file at Rex Cancer Center. Susan Ramsey, no longer has cancer. It's no longer in my body.
Amen. Good, amen. Good. Well, amen. That's powerful, isn't it?
It's awesome.
I mean, so now, when we were talking and I asked you if you prayed about it and if you spoke the word, you used this phrase, and I hope you don't mind me bringing this up in front of everybody, but you said, I prayed once.
I prayed once.
You said, I didn't pray and pray every day, God, will you pray? I prayed once.
I prayed once.
And after that, I just spoke what the word said.
Exactly. I believe that we only have to pray once if we're going to pray in faith. And when I went to the Lord that day and I just asked him to heal me, I said, okay, the request is in. I've made my request known unto you, Lord. And then what my job, my responsibility was as a believer, and what your responsibility is as a believer, is we don't have to go back to God and say, God, why aren't you doing anything? You know, it's getting worse, or my situation, my circumstances aren't changing. You've already made your request known to God. What we have a responsibility now as a believer to do is take the word of God that he's given us and speak it. We were talking, God doesn't have a problem. God is able to do anything that he wants to do. And many times as believers, we sit around and we wonder, or sometimes we're thinking, well, why doesn't God just zap this thing and make it go away? Or how come he doesn't make my finances what they need to be? Or how come my marriage isn't what it should be? Or how come my children aren't obedient or saved? Or, you know, just how come my life isn't what God says my life is? Well, the thing that hinders God or looses God are your words. Jesus said, you know, what you have, what you speak is what you'll have. Proverbs 18:21, that was one of my foundation scriptures last year. Life and death are in the power of my tongue. I want life. I'm going to speak life. Mm-hmm. I want blessing. I'm going to speak blessing. So that's what I chose to speak. And then God was loosed, so to speak. What we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We do that with our tongue. We do that with the words that we speak. So you're doing one of two things. Either you're loosing God to perform his word, or you're binding him because you're not speaking his word. Mm-hmm. I've been there. I've done that. I've got the t-shirt, folks. I know it for a fact. If you speak the word of God, it's going to come to pass. I mean, it didn't happen overnight for me. Mm-hmm. I had to stand. And I mean, there were days, there were times when the enemy kept coming back at me and attacking me and trying to get me back over into that realm of fear. And if he can keep you in fear, and if he can get you to keep your mouth shut and not speak the word of God, then he's going to defeat you. Mm-hmm. But I overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. That's Revelation 12:11. And I confessed the word of God continually. Mm-hmm. That's all I would say.
So did you have any, before I ask you that, one of the things that really excited me about Susan and Greg was on the worship team. Greg is on the worship team. In fact, he sang two songs this morning. He's the guitar player that sang the first two songs. And Susan said, please tell everybody why I'm dressed like this and why I didn't wear a dress when I knew I was going to be on the platform. She's actually serving in the toddler class. Mm-hmm. Is that where it is?
Toddler ministry.
You like that?
I love them.
Do you?
They're
okay.
Awesome.
One of the things about Susan is while she was going through this, she was at church all the time. I mean, there are people that sometimes we get this attacks us or that attacks us. We're having a hard time and, you know, I don't think I want to go. Every time I turned around, there was Susan. Sometimes you got a little frail looking there a couple times.
I got skinny.
Yeah, you were skinny. You're a little bit, but she was here. She said, hey, Susan, how you doing? I'm the healed of the Lord.
Amen.
She'd look at you like, don't cross me. I'll slap you. I'm the healed of the Lord. And she was just... And one day you stopped me. We were standing right over here. And one day she stopped me and she said, and I think I had been teaching something about the power of your words or something. Anyway, she stopped me. She looked me right in the eyes and she said, I want you to know I've got this. She said, I've got this. She said, it's down in here. She said, I may not look like much, but I've got this. It's in here. And I could look at her. Sometimes, you know, you can preach faith and teach faith and talk about this stuff. And sometimes people are in a fog. It's like I'm trying to speak this stuff, Pastor. I'm working at this, Pastor Steve. I'm really trying to make this work. Mm-hmm. But I looked at her. I told Connie in the office after the service, I said, Susan's got it. You can just look at her and you can tell this logos that we've been teaching has become rhema to her.
Totally.
But anyway, you're here all the time still, and your husband, you know, it wasn't like, you know, I'm supposed to be dead in a few months from cancer, so we're going to take a sabbatical. We're going to take a break from church. It was like, no, that's the first place we went, and we're hooked in here.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things that I just thought of while you were saying that, it occurred to me, and I hope this helps somebody out there, God is for you. If the scripture said, if God be for you, who can be against you? No weapon mm-hmm. formed against you will prosper. And I mean, you know, the enemy, you know, he's going to play with your mind. He, if you've got an attack in your body right now, or regardless of what's going on right now, just remember that God is for me. Mm-hmm. And the way that you bring the manifestation of the desired result into your life is by continually standing and speaking the word of God. Like I said, I only prayed once. I didn't have to go back to God and continue to beg him to heal me. I didn't beg him to heal me to begin with. I just said, hey, you said I'm healed. And that's what I'm praying. Now heal me. Now you do it however you want to, but please do it. And then after that, we just stood and we spoke. All of heaven is behind you, and you're a gate. You're a gate on this earth. I mean, God always intended for His believers, His children, His creation to have dominion and power and authority on this earth. The enemy doesn't want you to have it. That's why the attack is here. That's why there's, you know, that's where the disease is here. That's where there's the, you know, the lack. That's why that's here. The enemy doesn't want you to have it. And then furthermore, he wants to play with your mind and try to buy us into believing somehow or another that this is God's will for our life. Well, no, that's not it. And did God give me cancer so that he could look good when he healed me? Absolutely not. The word says that everything that the enemy means for your harm, for your destruction, for your evil, if you'll trust God, he'll turn that thing around regardless of what it is.
Yeah.
And the worse it is, guess what? The better God's going to look for it, you know, as a result of it. But we stood, I mean, and you're a gate. You're either going to open the gates of heaven or you're going to open the gates of hell. And you do that with your mouth. I mean, I was thinking about it this morning. You know, the reason why we have dominion on earth over the animal kingdom, I mean, if you listen to scientists and all and say, well, you know, because of the ice age or because of this, maybe another species of ape or whatever would have been the dominant species on earth. No, that's not the way that is. God gave us language. That's the reason why we dominate on the earth. Elephants don't learn how to talk to giraffes. Mm-hmm. Monkeys don't learn how to talk to alligators. Humans, I can go, if you were from Russia and I was from England, we could eventually learn to communicate because of language. Our language is the most powerful tool that we have as believers. And if we speak the word of God, that is exactly what's going to happen. I hope that becomes revelation to somebody today. God is for you. And if you will speak his word like he says in his word, then you're going to get the desired result. You're going to have victory in every area of your life. Mm-hmm. He's going to satisfy you with long life and show you his salvation in every single area of your life. Mm-hmm. I guarantee it. I mean, and I've shared my testimony with others. Some people are like Thomas. They need to see the scars, like, you know, Thomas had to see on Jesus's hand. If you need proof that the word of God works, look at me. Look at me. There was no hope for me. I'm not up here telling you I had a little bit of cancer. I had a lot of it. And it was in places in my body where it kills people. And I was a walking dead person according to all of my doctors. But today I have life. I have long life. And I have salvation in every area of my life because I spoke the word of God. And it wasn't anything that I did. I just chose to believe God. Because, you know, I can either believe the doctors or I can believe what God says about me. And I said, you know what? I'm going to choose life.
Good.
I'm going to choose life like Deuteronomy 20:18 says. I'm going to choose life so that me and my seed may live. And I'm going to put the word of God in my mouth, and that's what I'm going to speak forth. And then, like I said, in Revelation 12:11, they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Your testimony, what you say, will cause you to be an overcomer. I don't care what you're facing. God's got victory planned for you, so speak the word of God and live. Amen.
Good, good. Now, we only borrowed you from the toddler class for 5 minutes. And be sure and give them a kiss in there and tell them I love them.
I certainly will. God bless you.
And this also, I understand that this speaking the word not only works in your health, but it also works in your business.
Oh, man. Okay. Hallelujah. You know... I'll plug what I do. I sell houses for a living, and it's an awesome thing. God, got me into this career, and I love what I do. And last year, if anybody in here knows anything about working on 100% commission, one of the things that you have to do is continually market yourself and remind people, you know, hey, I sell this or I do that, so that you keep the business coming. I worked for 3 months last year because of the sickness. And, God, that's another testimony. God just, we never missed a bill. We never missed a meal. I mean, God provided in an awesome way. And back in January, when I got back into my career again, I thought, you know, Lord, I didn't prospect. I didn't market myself at all last year. I was at home sick, and I really need you to help me with my business. And so I thought, well, you know what? If God can heal me of stage 4 cancer, certainly he can send a couple people by to sell buy a house through me. Last month, I grossed $7,000 less than what I made in 2004. That is God. You talk about a God of breakthrough, a God of overflow, and a God of abundance. I don't know any other God that can do that. And he can do that in your finances, your business. He can do it for your marriage. He can do it in your children. I mean, he's good. He's awesome. I mean, there's nothing he can do.
So what is it but you're speaking some things over your houses and over your business, and there are some things you talk. What do you mind telling them?
My daily confession is I have listings that sell, buyers that buy, and an abundance of closings. And the Lord revealed one of the Psalms to me, stand still and humble yourself under the mighty hand of the Lord, that he may exalt you and cause you to inherit the land. And that's what I stand on. That's my scripture. And I stand on that scripture, and I continually confess. The Lord says in Psalm 1 that all that I do will prosper. Mm-hmm. Well, if I do real estate, then you know what? It prospers.
Yeah.
And it does.
Yeah. All right.
God
Amen.
Is good.
Great. Ladies and gentlemen, Susan Ramsey.
God bless you.
That was great. Thank you, sweetheart. Love you very much. All right, I thought she could preach it better than I could. And so if she wasn't in the toddler class, I would have just let her have the platform and let her finish up the service. I only got 10 minutes. So I think we could have gotten 10 more minutes out of her. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4, and I want to talk with you just a moment about the speaking to the storms in your life. Susan had a pretty serious storm in her life, and she overcame that by speaking the Word of God. And so this stuff that I'm trying to tell you is not just good preaching material. If there's anything, in praying over these messages, words, they got you into this, they can get you out. In praying over this series of messages, always as a pastor, one of my great concerns is that the messages that we preach and teach here are not just entertainment. And it's not just a religious exercise, but you leave here knowing that you can do it. When you go to a concert, when you go to a ballet, when you go to a show and you sit and watch it, it's amazing the people who have a little bit. Anybody out here have a little bit of talent? Anybody have a little bit? None of you have a little bit of talent? And sometimes people watch shows and things, and there's a piece of it that they vicariously hook themselves into. That's why people play air guitar. is because they're imagining their whoever that person is. And so we leave there thinking, oh, that's so cool, that's so this, it's so that, but you don't really, really believe in your heart that could be you. And so one of the challenges I have as a preacher of the gospel is helping you understand this stuff is not just good preaching material, and sometimes it's entertaining, sometimes it's fun, which is all great, but it's not just that. Jesus, when he taught his disciples, he did not tell them, don't try this at home. It was designed for you to try at home. This stuff that we're talking, we're not trying to hold up Susan Ramsey as, don't you wish you were that spiritual, but you're not. What we're trying to show you is this stuff will work for you. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35, on the same day when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. So the disciples are in a pretty serious situation. When they get out on the Sea of Galilee, a big storm comes up. Have any of you ever been in a storm? Yeah. I mean a real storm. Oh, yeah. Not my mommy wouldn't let me float my boats in the bathtub, and now I've grown up and I'm disillusioned about life. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the devil's trying to destroy your marriage, destroy your finances, destroy your health. I'm talking about an onslaught from hell. You see, in the Amplified Bible, here it says that a great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat. The Amplified Bible says that this windstorm was of hurricane proportions. Can you imagine a little boat? About the length of from this corner of the platform to this corner of the platform, maybe out a little farther, and it's got several people in it, and it's just got a little sail, and it's about this wide. And in a hurricane on the Sea of Galilee, that's what we're talking here. Jesus is in the stern of the ship, verse 38, on a pillow, asleep. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now I want to point out, when the Bible says that Jesus, well, first of all, I've got a theory. And it's always dangerous to mess with the text of the Bible. If the Bible, this is the Word of God, and if the Bible says it, it's true. So you got to be careful messing with stuff. But and you don't have to believe this. But the Bible says he was asleep. I don't think he was. I think he was playing possum. I think Mark thought he was asleep. Mark wrote he was asleep. I think Mark thought he was asleep, and I think he looked asleep on purpose. Now, come on, folks, think about it. He's in a boat in a hurricane, and he's asleep. I think he's not worried. I think he's not stressed. I think he's at peace, but I'm not sure he's asleep. I think he wants to see, what are the disciples going to do? He hears everything they're saying. "I'm not waking him up. You wake him up." Remember the last time we woke him up? "I'm not waking him up. You wake, not me." He's hearing all of this, and he wants to know, what are these guys going to do in this storm? And so they wake him up, and he stands up on the, can you see it? He's standing up on the stern of the boat. And when I was a kid, I used to have a little, you ever, when I was a kid in Sunday school, they gave us these little glow-in-the-dark things that you hang on the wall. No, okay, never mind. Anyway, I had one, and it was Jesus standing at the stern of the ship, and the disciples are all huddled up, and they're afraid, and Jesus standing on the stern of the ship, and his hair is blowing all over the place, and he looks like this. It was so cool. And I remember it when I was a kid. And Jesus says to this storm, "Peace, be still." In fact, in the Greek, Bill Bozanski last year at Dominion by the Word shared with us that actually in the Greek, it means shh. The Amplified Bible says, hush. Jesus did not have a prayer meeting with his disciples. Let's all kneel down in the boat here and pray. "Peter, why don't you lead off? Dear God, dear Father in heaven, would you please help us? We're about to drown here," but we... No! He spoke to it. He spoke to the storm. Many of you have storms in your life. Your finances are in a whirlwind. Your marriage is in a hurricane. Your health is going down the tubes. And we're, "Oh God, please somehow in your omnipotence, dear God, wouldst thou please..." God does not listen to us because we're religious and because we pray a long time. She prayed one time, and after Susan prayed one time, she said, "This is what the Bible says about me." And she spoke to that counselor. And it was a great thing she learned, because now she's speaking to her business. And she didn't tell you how much she made last month. She just told you, she told me how much she made last month. I'm looking for that tithe check in Jesus' mighty name. But anyway. It was a joke. Come on, lighten up, man. But listen, you can learn to speak to the storms of your life, and those storms have to move. Jesus says to the storm, "Shh." Oh, I got to hand me the Message translation. I got to read this to you. So good. Let me have the Message translation. And then the storm calms, and then Jesus says, let me give you the Revised Corona translation. Jesus says, "Why didn't you do this? You woke me up for this. Where's your faith? Why didn't you do this and let me sleep? I've been working hard. I've been healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out devils. And I've been preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. And I was tired. I needed some sleep. And you woke me up for this?" Sometimes God is saying the same thing to us. I mean, God loves us and He cares about. The Bible says that He that watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. So He's watching over us and He loves us and He cares for us. So it's not like God gets irritated because we need Him. But sometimes He has given us authority over things and we need to take dominion. There's a word for us. We need to take dominion and we need to speak into our situation what the Word of God says. I've got to read to you Mark chapter 4, verse 38 in the Message Translation. Message Translation is not really a translation, it's a paraphrase. I don't recommend it for Greek and Hebrew study, but it's really great. He says, they roused Him saying, "Teacher, is it nothing to you that we're going down? Awake now." He told the wind to pipe down. I love it. And He said to the sea, "Quiet, settle down." The wind ran out of breath. The sea became smooth as glass. The Amplified Bible says the sea became perfect peacefulness. Wouldn't you love to have perfect peacefulness in your finances? How about in your marriage? How about in your work environment? Wouldn't you like to have perfect peacefulness? You're not going to have it until you say it. Jesus reprimanded the disciples. Can you handle this? Are you strong? You ready for this? Jesus reprimanded the disciples. "Why are you such cowards? Don't you have any faith at all?" They were in absolute awe, staggered. "Who is this anyway?" People are going to ask that about you. There are people that inspiring as Susan's testimony was this morning. There are people, you know, I hear it all the time. People watch Benny Hinn on TV. They watch Kenneth Copeland on TV. They watch different things and they see different things happening and they go, "Oh, that's not real. That's not real." Well, growing up, sometimes I'd turn the channel and this was years ago when Oral Roberts was having tent revivals and they'd show them on TV. Some of you are too young to remember that, but I used to watch those when I was a kid. And Oral Roberts, and he'd preach, and then he'd be sitting in a chair and they'd be bringing these people by and he'd be laying hands on them and they'd get healed. And not all my relatives, but some of my relatives would just roll their eyes, "Turn that off. That's just that guy, that's just fake. That's just..." Well, they weren't there. They didn't know. They didn't see it. And there are many of you here. You've been to Benny Hinn meetings. You've seen this stuff happen. I've been right there. I've seen it. Amen. I stood this close to Rodney Howard Brown. And I followed him. I stood this close to him and watched him lay hands on over 1,000 people. Seeing people getting healed just like this. Healings just like this. And we got Susan Ramsey right here who says, "I spoke the word. Here I am. I got the T-shirt." When are we going to realize this is for us? Amen. This is for you. So for you, what are you dealing with? What's the storm? What are you dealing with in the storm? What are you dealing with in the storm? One of the things that really needs to sink into you is when Susan said, "If you can't speak the word, don't say anything." So you got to be careful who you share your junk that you're going through with. Listen to me. I need a stool for this. Listen to me very carefully. When you're going through the storm, when you're going through a storm, this actually applies to all the time, but especially when you're going through a storm, don't stay away from church. Don't stay away from your Christian friends. Don't stay away from the people that brought you along in faith. That's the very time you need it. It's when you're going through a storm, when you're going through difficulty. That's the very time. And I know what it's like. I remember years ago, Connie and I going through things. I asked the Lord the other day if one day Connie and I could just have a Sunday and we could just give our testimony. We could just start at the beginning and tell you about our life. God's done a lot of miraculous things in our life. And we spend most of our time preaching and teaching the Word. And I use some illustrations for our life. But there's a lot of stuff about us you don't know that you might find interesting. But I want to tell you something. There are just times I know what it's like not to want to go to church. I do. I know what it's like for my life to be such a mess and be going through so much and just think, I'm afraid if I go to church, I'll just crack. I'm afraid I'll just break out crying. If I go to church, I'm afraid somebody's going to find out that I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with that. I've got this problem. Christian friends would call me, "How you doing?" "Fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine." Now, there's a difference between that being a positive confession and that being a cover-up. If you're fine because you're standing on the Word, that's fine. No pun intended. Actually, pun intended, yes. But if you're saying fine because you're hiding, that's not fine. And we need people to challenge us. Stand on the Word. Stay on the Word. "But I feel so rotten." Stay on the Word. "But everything's falling apart." Stay on the Word. Keep speaking the Word. Keep believing the Word. Don't let go of the Word. Amen. Word for me. Word for Susan. Anybody out there don't raise your hand. This is not trying to get people to raise their hands, but is there a situation in your life that you spoke the Word? You just stood on the Word against all odds and God delivered you. Would you raise your hand if that applies to you? I want you to look around and look at all the hands, people raising their hands that said, "I stood on the Word and God delivered me." Put your hands down. It's because His Word is true. Jesus is illustrating for His disciples here in Mark chapter 4. He's illustrating Mark 11:23. "They feared exceedingly and they said to one another, 'Who can this be?'" People will say that to you. One question I didn't ask Susan that I wanted to ask her, but I didn't want the toddler class to be mad at us. I wanted to ask her, did you have any opposition? Did you have any people that when you told them, "I'm the healed of the Lord," they just said, "Susan, you're in denial. You're in denial." Now, you got to know the difference, because there is such a thing as being in denial. Don't get me wrong. There are people that don't have it, that don't get it, that are in denial. But Susan stood on the Word, and I'm sure there were people. And there are people that they'll look at you and say, "So who is this? Who is this?" Sometimes your confidence, I got a couple of notes here in my Bible. Sometimes your confidence will look like uncaring or overconfidence to others. Jesus is asleep in the boat. When you're in the boat, when there's a storm going on and you're at peace, you're at so much peace you can sleep, other people will think you don't care. Other people will think that you don't care. Sometimes, some people will think you're overconfident. I believe when I pray for you and when I speak the Word for you, I believe that you're well. So forgive me. Please do not be offended, because I don't call you every day to say, "Are you better now? Are you better now? Are you better now? How do you feel now? You feeling okay now? Are you feeling better now?" I believe when I prayed for you and stood on the Word with you, I believed you were well. What do you believe? Amen. Where two or more agree, not just where the pastor prays. That's not what the Bible says. "Where the pastor prays, it shall be done of the Father in heaven." It doesn't say that. It says where two or more agree. So I'm going to do my part. You got to do your part. Which is stand on the Word and speak the Word and believe God for His Word to come to pass in your life. Amen. That's what you have to believe. And then one other thing I want to point out in verse 36. It says, "Now when they left the multitude," when they left the multitude, when they left the multitude, that's when they got into the boat and the storm came up. So often when you leave the multitude of the saints, when you get out there on your own, that's when the storms come up. When you get out from under the protection of the covering God has for you, that's when the storms come up. So stay hooked in. Stay close to those that you know are close to God. Amen. How many of you have any Christian friends? Now put your hands down. I'm talking about real Christians. I'm not talking about pro-play Christians. I'm talking about real. Put your hands down. How many of you have Christian friends that challenge you that if you're not speaking the Word, they're going to be in your face? Everybody needs some. I have one. I have one that lives with me. Yeah, and we need to listen. You need to stay in tight with that multitude of people who's going to speak the Word to you and insist that you stand in God.